In this session, we are going to take a look at the Corporation Tax Self-Assessment, or CTSA, procedures relating to penalties. The CTSA penalty regime ensures compliance with the various CTSA administrative requirements. The penalty regime aims to penalize various misdemeanors, including the failure to notify chargeability to tax, the late filing of returns, record-keeping failures, incorrect returns, and the late payment of tax. We will look at each penalty in turn. Before we begin, it is worth pointing out that the legislation is very useful when looking at penalties, and you will find it helpful to highlight the legislative references mentioned. We are going to start by looking at the penalties for failure to notify chargeability to tax. Companies have an obligation to notify HMRC when their first chargeable accounting period begins or when they come back within the charge to tax. The company must give written notice to HMRC within 3 months of the start of the accounting period. The notice must state when the chargeable accounting period began. Once HMRC are aware that a company is chargeable to UK corporation tax, they will normally send out a notice called a CT603, requiring a company to submit a corporation tax return within a few weeks of the end of the period of accounts. If a company has not received a notice CT603 from HMRC to file a tax return, it must notify HMRC within 12 months of the end of the chargeable accounting period that it is chargeable to tax. If the company misses this deadline, HMRC will charge the company a penalty. The penalty will be based on the behavior of the company and is a percentage of the potential lost revenue. The potential lost revenue to which any penalty will apply is the amount of corporation tax which is unpaid 12 months after the end of the chargeable accounting period as a result of the failure to notify. Let's now look at the percentages that are applied to the potential loss revenue in more detail. These percentages are all in paragraph 6 and 13 of Schedule 41 of Finance Act 2008. We will look at each in turn by building up a table of penalties on your screen. For a deliberate and concealed failure, the penalty will be a maximum of 100% of the potential loss revenue. For a deliberate but not concealed failure, the maximum penalty will be 70% of the potential loss revenue. And for any other case, for example, due to lack of care, the maximum penalty will be 30% of the potential loss revenue. A failure is deliberate and concealed where the failure is deliberate and the company makes arrangements to conceal the situation, giving rise to the obligation. This would include creating false evidence of a non-taxable source of income to explain undisclosed income, creating false invoices to support inaccurate turnover figures, or destroying books and records. A failure is deliberate but not concealed where the failure is deliberate but no arrangements are made to conceal the situation, giving rise to the obligation. Reductions in the amount of the penalty are available for both unprompted and prompted disclosures. The table on your screen now details the maximum and minimum penalties that could apply. Note that where the company is simply careless in not making the necessary notification, the reduction in the penalty also depends on how long has elapsed since the time when any tax first becomes unpaid as a result of the failure. Disclosure is unprompted if the company has no reason to believe HMRC have discovered or are about to discover the failure. Disclosure takes place where a company tells HMRC about the failure, gives HMRC reasonable help in calculating the resulting unpaid tax, and allows HMRC access to records to check the amount of unpaid tax. The actual reduction in the penalty depends on the quality of the elements of disclosure, including timing, nature, and extent. Let's now have a look at an illustration of the penalty for failure to notify chargeability. You may find it useful to have Finance Act 2008, Schedule 41, paragraphs 6 and 13 open in front of you as we go through this illustration. Bridge Limited's first chargeable accounting period began on the 1st of January 2010. The directors were unaware of the need to notify HMRC that Bridge Limited was chargeable to tax for the year ended 31st of December 2010. Consequently, HMRC did not send Bridge Limited a notice CT603 requiring the company to submit a corporation tax return for its year ended 31st of December 2010. The directors failed to notify HMRC of the company's chargeability to tax by the 31st of December 2011. The company appointed a tax advisor in August 2012, and HMRC were immediately notified of the company's chargeability to tax. The corporation tax return for the year ended 31st of December 2010 was filed in September 2012, showing a corporation tax liability of £58,000, which was paid on that date. It would appear that the company's failure to notify HMRC of its chargeability to tax by the 31st of December 2011 was due to carelessness, as Bridge Limited did not deliberately decide to fail to notify HMRC. The maximum penalty is therefore 30% of the potential lost revenue of £58,000, which is the unpaid corporation tax 12 months after the end of the chargeable accounting period. However, Bridge Limited made an unprompted disclosure within 12 months of the 1st of October 2011, which is the due date for the payment of the corporation tax. So the penalty may be reduced to a minimum of nil. Failure to notify penalties must be paid within 30 days of the date the notice assessing the penalty is issued, or interest will be charged. The decision to issue a penalty, or the amount of the penalty, can be appealed against. Penalties will not be charged if the company has a reasonable excuse for the failure and the failure is not deliberate. Now, let's have a look at the penalties that apply for failure to submit a corporation tax return on time. These penalties are found in paragraphs 3 to 6 of Schedule 55 of Finance Act 2009. An initial penalty of £100 will apply if a return is late, even where there are no amounts outstanding. Additional daily penalties of £10 per day may be levied in respect of returns which are more than 3 months late. The daily penalty can be imposed for a maximum of 90 days. If a return is more than 6 months late, there will be an additional penalty of 5% of any liability to tax which would have been shown in the return. In other words, the amount which would have been shown as due and payable by the company, or £300 if greater. An additional penalty of 5% of any liability to tax, or £300 if greater, will also be levied if the return is more than 12 months late. If the return has not been submitted within 12 months, and by failing to make the return, the company is deliberately withholding but not concealing information which would enable HMRC to assess the tax liability, the maximum amount of the penalty increases to 70%, or £300 if greater. If the withholding of information is deliberate and concealed, the maximum amount of the penalty is 100% of the tax liability, or £300 if greater. Let's now have a look at an illustration of the late filing penalty. You may find it useful to have Finance Act 2009, Schedule 55, paragraphs 3 to 6, open in front of you as we go through this illustration. Delholm Limited was due to file the tax return in respect to the year ended 31st of March 2011 on the 31st of March 2012. The return was actually submitted on the 15th of October 2012, showing a liability to tax of £40,000. As the return was not filed by the 31st of March 2012, a fixed £100 penalty will be levied. HMRC could decide to impose daily penalties of £10 per day for a maximum of 90 days, as the return was outstanding for more than 3 months. Finally, as the return was outstanding for more than 6 months, a penalty of £2,000, being 5% of the tax liability of £40,000, will be charged. Penalties that apply where a company has deliberately withheld information can be reduced for both prompted and unprompted disclosures of the information. Finance Act 2009, Schedule 55, Paragraph 15, shows the reductions that can apply. A table detailing these maximum and minimum penalties that can apply is on your screen. The minimum penalty is £300 if greater. As we saw earlier on in this session, disclosure takes place where a company tells HMRC about the relevant information, gives HMRC reasonable help in quantifying the tax unpaid as a result of the information being withheld, and allows HMRC access to records to check the amount of unpaid tax. Disclosure is unprompted if it is made when there is no reason to believe that HMRC have discovered or are about to discover the information. The actual reduction in the penalty depends on the quality of the disclosure, including timing, nature, and extent. HMRC have the power to reduce the penalty if there are special circumstances. Let's now look at some other points relating to the late filing penalty. The maximum aggregate penalty, calculated as a percentage of the liability to tax that can be charged in respect of the late filing of a return, is 100% of the liability to tax. Where a penalty for a late return is calculated based on a tax liability, the amount of the penalty is reduced by any other penalty calculated in relation to the same liability, for example, a failure to notify penalty. However, the penalty is not reduced by a penalty for late payment of tax. In other words, if a return is filed late and the tax liability is paid late, the company will incur both late filing and late payment penalties. Late payment penalties must be paid within 30 days of the date the notice of assessing the penalty is issued, or interest will be charged. The decision to issue a penalty, or the amount of the penalty payable, can be appealed against by the company. Penalties will not be charged if the company has a reasonable excuse for the failure. An insufficiency of funds is not a reasonable excuse, unless due to events outside the company's control. Relying on a third party is also not a reasonable excuse, unless the company took reasonable care. The term reasonable excuse is not defined in the legislation, and HMRC's view is that each claim should be considered on its own unique merits. Let's now look at a company's record-keeping requirements. Companies are normally required to keep certain records for at least 6 years from the end of the chargeable accounting period. These are the same as the Companies Act requirements and will include records of receipts and expenses and the matters to which they relate, details of all sales and purchases made in the course of trade, where the trade involves dealing in goods, and supporting documents such as accounts, books, vouchers, contracts, deeds, and so on. The penalty for failing to keep these records is £3,000 per chargeable accounting period. This penalty can be found in paragraph 23 of Schedule 18, Finance Act 1998. The duty to keep records can be reduced from 6 years by notification in writing from HMRC. With effect from the 1st of April 2009, a company failing to produce documents for the purpose of an inquiry is liable to a penalty of £300. If the failure continues after the initial penalty has been imposed, further penalties of up to £60 per day will be imposed. That concludes this first session looking at the CTSA penalty regime.